of the presses. Every week, these giant presses roll and keep rolling at tremendous speed, 15,000 an hour, until every last one of the 7 million copies of the American Weekly has gone through in full color.
Great fiction.
Interesting features.
Factual articles. Color illustrations. All these are found in every issue of the American Weekly. All these go to make up the nation's reading habit, another name for the American Weekly, which comes to you every week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Since the United States swung into its gigantic program of national defense and all-out aid to Britain, our law enforcement agencies have come suddenly face to face with a class of criminals more clever and far more menacing than our entire crop of public enemies put together. These are the saboteurs, spies, and foreign agents bent on crippling it at its source. And to combat them, the Federal Bureau of Investigation and police departments throughout the country are quietly and efficiently mobilizing all the latest scientific devices ordinarily employed in the detection of less sinister, though perhaps more spectacular, lawbreakers. This week's front page drama, Sabotage, dramatizes one of the many problems faced by the law enforcement agencies in solving one of the many sinister acts of sabotage against our national defense. Revealed in the feature article, Sabotage, to be found in next Sunday's American Weekly. Our story opens aboard one of the newest United States submarines performing torpedo target practice off the Atlantic coast. The commander is addressing his officers and crew.
All right, gentlemen, let's forget all the excuses and alibis and try again. This time, let's keep our minds on the job and our eyes on the target. For the love of heaven, don't miss this time, or we'll be the laughing stock of the Atlantic fleet. All right, men, station.
Station. Station.
Spark, signal the target control station we're ready again.
Aye, aye, sir. Proceed when ready, sir.
Station.
Station.
Prepare to submerge.
Prepare to submerge.
Target approaching port bow. Torpedo station one ready.
Station one ready.
Target crossing port bow. Range 550 yards. Port bow tube, load.
Port bow tube, load.
Torpedo station one ready.
Station one ready.
Torpedo station one, fire. Found the blasted luck. Another miss. What in the name of heaven? Well, what is it, Spark? The old man again?
Aye, sir. Commander's compliments, sir. Return at once to base. Report immediately.
Well, Mr. Simpson, that was a fine showing you made this morning. Six misses and not one of them even close.
Well, Mr. Simpson, now with it, what's the excuse? I have no excuses or apologies to make for myself, the crew, or my vessel, sir. But I have a serious charge to make against the torpedo arsenal at Newport, sir. Those torpedoes were defective, sir.
The devil, you say, Simpson. But tell me why you and the S-70 were signaled out to receive six duds. How about the rest of the subs in the flotilla? They didn't experience any trouble.
I can't speak for the rest, sir, but I'm willing to stake my reputation as an officer that those torpedoes we used were defective.
This is a serious charge, Commander Simpson. Either the men at the Newport plant are getting careless due to the rush of orders, or else someone is willfully damaging those torpedoes in the process of manufacture.
Without a careful investigation and substantial proof, I'm not at liberty to swear to the cause of the deficiency, sir.
Very well, Mr. Simpson. I'll take you at your word and order an inquiry into the condition of the balance of the torpedoes we have recently received from the Newport plant. I hope for the sake of your reputation and mine, you are right. They're ready for the final test, Mr. Simpson. The naval ordnance men have picked six torpedoes at random. They've taken them apart, examined them carefully, and reassembled them without finding anything wrong. They're going to make the firing test now, and they should fire normally. If they do, Mr. Simpson, I'm afraid you're in for
Yes, sir, I understand perfectly, sir.
Mr. Robert, you may proceed with the firing test.
Yes. Fire on target one.
Aye, aye, sir.
Very good. Watch your torpedo, Simpson. There she goes, dead on the target. Eh? Nothing wrong there, Simpson. Mr. Robert, proceed with the second test.
Yes, sir. Fire on target two.
Aye, aye, sir.
Well, we'll see what this one will do. Look. Look there, sir. That's what I mean. See, that one's not holding its course. It's a way off. Why, it's missing the target completely.
By heaven, you're right, Mr. Simpson.
Now I've got it, sir. It's the gyro mechanism. There's where the defect lies, sir.
Very good, Simpson. We'll look into that immediately. That will be all, Mr. Robert. Cease firing and return those other four torpedoes to the supply base at once.
Very good, sir.
Now, this, Commander Simpson, is the Federal Bureau of Investigation's own technical laboratory. The minute I was assigned to the case and you sent me some samples of those gyro mechanisms that control the direction of the torpedo, I rushed them into the laboratory so that our scientists could subject them to spectrographic tests.
Hey, this is quite a place you have here, Mr. Walker.
Here's our man, Commander.
Hello there, Walker. I've got some good news for you.
Well, Dr. Gillespie, this is Lieutenant Commander Simpson of the submarine S-70. He's the man who first discovered those defective torpedoes.
Well, this is a pleasure, Commander.
Thank you, Doctor. You say you have some good news for us?
Yes, sir. Good news, that would be bad news for somebody. You were right, Walker. It's sabotage, all right.
Now, good. Let's have the report, Doctor.
It's all here in detail, with micro photos to prove it.
Say, this may all be routine to you fellows, but how about letting me in on your secret?
Certainly, Commander, if it's okay with Walker.
I think we can trust Commander Simpson to keep our secret. On my honor, gentlemen.
Well, fair enough. Now, look. Here in this glass container, you see the lubricating fluid used in the delicate gyro mechanism of your torpedoes. Now, hold it up to that strong light there. Yeah. Now, how does it look?
Perfectly okay to me. Clear and fluid.
Uh-huh. Now then, we shake it up a little and insert the tube into this machine here, the spectrograph. Now, look through here. What do you see?
Some fine particles or something. Well, they sort of sparkle.
Exactly. Well, we had them analyzed. Those tiny, minute specks are emery dust. When the inspector at the torpedo arsenal was inspecting the mechanism, that emery dust was settled in the bottom of the casing. When the gyro mechanism began to revolve, it would stir up the dust, which would cling to the metal surfaces of the very delicate mechanism, and enough of it would gather to jimmy the works and throw the torpedo off its course.
Why, a sub stocked with torpedoes like that would be worthless. It couldn't defend or attack.
Well, I'm sorry to break up this discussion, gentlemen, but I've got work to do, and plenty of it. I've got to find the saboteurs who put emery dust in torpedoes.
Yes, Mr. Bruce. I'll have to admit you were right about your personnel. I've checked the records thoroughly. Investigated every individual who would be or could be even remotely suspected. But no luck.
I must confess, Mr. Walker, I feel very proud and mighty happy that you've exonerated my personnel. That's why I was so insistent from the outset that there were no fifth columnists or saboteurs in my plan. I'm very particular in the selection of every individual worker. I've always kept a very close check on their personal lives and habits.
I ought to be congratulated, Mr. Bruce. You have an excellent system of records and a most efficient personnel manager. That's more than I can say for a lot of plants working on defense contracts.
Ah, thank you. You know, I had quite an argument with Mr. Whitey once because he wanted to discharge a man because he'd become separated from his wife.
That's all. Who was the man, Mr. Bruce?
Oh, a fellow by the name of Roush, Richard Roush. Quiet, inoffensive little fellow. One of our best workmen, too. Oh, he married some flighty, flippity-dibbity who didn't like to live a quiet home life, so she left him. Wanted to go dancing and gallivanting about, I suppose.
And this man, Roush, still works for you?
Oh, yes. Yes, he's in the gyroscopic department. You checked his record.
Yes, oh, yes, of course, I remember now. Richard Roush, yes. Well, sorry to have taken up so much of your valuable time this past month, but I apologize for having to upset your routine, but...
Oh, that's all right.
It was all in the line of duty.
Oh, I understand perfectly, Mr. Walker. I'm glad you were able to give my personnel a clean bill of health, so to speak.
Yes. Well, goodbye, Mr. Bruce. Keep up the good work.
Yeah.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Mr. Walker. Good luck.
Yeah. And she worked here under the name Mrs. Roush. Good girl, too. Sorry to lose her. Went back to Bridgeport.
Mrs. Roush? Sure, darn good girl. She changed back to her maiden name, Adelaide Walton. She got a better job, more money than I could pay her. Don't know why you're chasing her. She ain't stopped doing nobody any harm. Where'd she go? Oh, South Norwalk, I think. Yeah.
Just left last month. Said she was getting a divorce. Yeah, I got her address someplace up in Hartford. Here it is. Right nice girl, mister.
Why, certainly, Mr. Walker. If it's as serious as that, I'll tell you everything. Although up to now, I just wanted to forgive him. Not to do him or anyone else any harm.
Oh, I appreciate just how you feel, Mrs. Roush, but this might mean the security of our country.
Well, we were married after going together for a year or so. He was nice and considerate. And for the first 2 years, we were very happy.
And what brought about the sudden change?
It was just when all that trouble started over in Europe. As I look back on it now, I think that's what changed it.
When Hitler began to invade Czechoslovakia and Austria, was that the time?
Yes. He began to get mad and act up. Then he started missing dinners and staying out late. But he never was drunk or anything like that.
I understand. Then what happened?
Oh, sometimes he'd stay out all night. He'd be gone for whole weekends. He never offered any explanation, and when I questioned him, he'd tell me it was none of my business.
When did you find out why he was asking so much?
Well, I was taking a few of his to the cleaners, and I was going through the pockets when I found a letter crumpled up in his inside coat pocket.
That letter was in German?
Yes. He came over here from Germany after the World War. 1921, I think it was.
Uh-huh. You don't read German, I suppose.
No. I'm an American born, Mr. Walker, and my people, too.
Yeah, I see. Well, about the letter.
Oh, yes. Well, I saved it, and when he came home, I gave it to him. And did he get mad? Tuesday, I was spying on him and all sorts of terrible things.
Huh? Is that when you left him?
Oh, no. No, but he was going away for a weekend soon after that, and I came into the bedroom while he was packing his bag. I saw him folding up a uniform. I asked him what it was, but he wouldn't tell me. We quarreled, and after he'd gone, I went to the movies. And in a newsreel, I saw the German gun parading and recognized the uniform as the kind my husband had.
Mm-hmm. You had no sympathy for the organization, huh?
None whatever. I think they're awful. When he came home, I told him about it. He didn't deny it, and he wouldn't give it up. So I left him. I thought he might get over that nonsense, so I waited. But he didn't, so I divorced him.
But you didn't mention anything about the bond at the divorce hearing.
No. I thought it might hurt him, and I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to be rid of him. But if he's what you say, why, well, I want to see justice done.
I've been watching you for a month, Richard Rausch. You've even made photographs of your actions and movements. We've caught you in the act of pouring emery dust into the lubricating fluid of the gyro mechanisms you inspect. We therefore place you under arrest on the charge that you did unlawfully, knowingly, and willfully injure and commit an act of depredation against certain property of the United States. The smiling, inoffensive, mild-appearing little man pleaded guilty. He was one of the sinister enemies of this nation plotting against our defense industry. But by alertness and skillful detection, the FBI is constantly winning its battles against these alien criminals. For a full, completely revealing article on this very important campaign, read Sabotage, which is to be featured in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, that comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper.